You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are diving into Principle 2 from the encouragement skill. And these are the last few, and then we're ready to dive into new content. So before I dive into today's principle, I want to share with you what is coming, because we've already come a long way and we have some really, really exciting stuff to come. So if you have not been a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family for long, this has been a curriculum deep dive into the child-centered model. So if you missed early episodes, go back. You will get the history, the background, the philosophy, the foundational pieces, the framework. And we've been moving through all of this in succession. We're actually wrapping up the principles that go along with the four pillars. So if you missed those are really important pieces to this entire process. So moving forward, as soon as we finish these last few principles, we're going to be diving into the play therapy themes that you'll find in the playroom. We will be looking at the stages as kids progress in the therapeutic process, and specifically how to explain that to people, how to interact with your client's parents and school personnel and pediatricians, family attorneys, all of the people that are also involved in your clients' lives. How do you articulate and communicate the work that you're doing and the significance there? We will talk further about filial therapy. So what that looks like working with parents specifically and teaching them to do play therapy with their own children. How to deal with diagnoses that either are requested or that have already been given. Oh my gosh, there's so much more to come. So stay tuned. We're wrapping up these principles. There's a couple more, and then we're going to be diving into a whole bunch of new topics. I'm really excited about that. So back to what we're talking about today. We are looking at the four principles that go along with the encouragement pillar. And last week we did noticing the child is a powerful builder of self-esteem. Today we're talking about the principle encourage the effort rather than praise the product. So let's look at some components of that principle. So I think first, we have to understand the difference between encouragement versus praise. So if you did not listen to the encouragement pillar, I would, no pun intended, encourage you to go back and do that, because you have to understand the difference between praise versus encouragement in order to understand why we would encourage the effort rather than praise the product. So there's some precursory work that you have to do before you can understand this principle. But we will talk through very briefly encouragement versus praise. Secondly, we have to understand the difference between an internal locus of control and an external locus of control. And then finally, this principle matters because we can always encourage the effort. And so therefore, it can always be given. And that is very meaningful in the playroom and in our work therapeutically with kids. So let's unpack each of those together. So before we look at those three specifically, I want to make it very clear that these principles specifically related to the encouragement pillar, they're all self-esteem driven. So as we encourage, as we're talking about these principles, noticing the child and encouraging their effort, they are all wrapped up under the umbrella of self-esteem building. So I think that's really important. I don't want that to get missed or lost somehow. There's a purpose behind every principle that we've covered, and those principles and their purpose tie back to the pillar, which also has a purpose. So everything, that's why I love the child-centered model. I think sometimes I can get wrapped up in how much it benefits kids and what it does for kids and the longevity of the outcomes and the relationship. I mean, there's a thousand, probably tens of thousands of reasons I love the child-centered model. But I think one of the things at its core and at its foundation that I so deeply value and appreciate is that every single skill, every principle, every pillar, every tenet, every piece of the entire model has purpose. There's never anything that doesn't have a reason or a justification or a rationale. Everything is intentional. And therefore, it creates an intentional relationship and it creates intentional outcomes. And that is why it works. That is why there is magic in the child-centered model, because everything has a purpose and there's nothing haphazard about it. So when we're talking about these encouragement principles tied to the encouragement pillar, they're all rooted in self-esteem development. And that's powerful. What child doesn't need to build self-esteem, self-concept, self-worth, self-identity? Those are huge long-term benefits. So now we'll go back to the three. That was a freebie bonus. Okay. So when we're talking about encouragement versus praise, we have to understand they are very different things, although society uses them almost interchangeably. So typically I'll say, you know, okay, tell me what you feel like encouragement is. And I get almost exactly the same response when I say, tell me what you feel like praise is. And they're vastly different. So if you missed that episode or that section of episodes, I suppose, please go back and listen. Just keep in mind, encouragement is very intentional. The wording is very purposeful. And praise creates a very different outcome. So those are very important distinctions, because when this principle says encourage the effort rather than praise the product, I want you to very clearly understand that if we encourage the effort, that is a completely different process and goal than to praise the product. So value-laden words are always tied with praise. So think of anything on a spectrum. That would be a value-laden word. So good, bad, pretty, ugly, awesome, terrible. So anytime we say, good job, that's amazing, it's so pretty, I love it, all of those things are praise. So that is value-laden versus encouragement, which is factual acknowledgement of effort. That's why this principle is encourage the effort rather than praise the product. So we're not looking at the outcome, and we're not giving a value-laden judgment about it. We are offering a neutral, factual acknowledgement of the effort that was put forth, regardless of the outcome. So that's a very important piece of this. So in the playroom, we can always encourage effort. Even when a child is not succeeding, even when they're frustrated, even when they're failing, even when they've given up, even when they've defeated, you still can encourage their effort. All right, so that ties us into internal versus external locus of control. And what that means is when we encourage the effort, we are helping the child develop an internal locus of control. Because as we encourage, they are forced to reflect on, yes, I didn't give up. Yes, I did keep going. Yes, I did work hard. Yes, I did figure it out. And therefore, their locus of control is developed to be an internal reflection so that the next time they're faced with something, they'll say, I can figure it out. I can do it. I don't need to give up. Versus an external locus of control, which is, I want someone to validate me. I want someone to tell me that I did a good job. I need someone to help me. I need someone to make me do this. That is external locus of control. And look, it all comes back to motivators, right? What motivates the child? Is the child motivated by an intrinsic need to accomplish something that they know they're capable of, and they're proud of that accomplishment, even if no one's around to see it? Or is it about making a child dependent on validation by someone saying, you're so awesome, great job? So the motivator is what is significant here with this principle, because when you encourage the effort, they become internally motivated, which is what kids need, because sometimes there's not going to be someone there to tell them that they're doing a good job or to spur them on or to make them want to keep going so that they can get an attaboy or attagirl. And that can be a very lonely, defeating, frustrating existence when you're only willing to work when you have someone to validate you. Okay, so finally, when we talk about encouraging the effort, it can always be given, which is why it makes it so special in the playroom. Because even when they are frustrated, even when they are failing at a task they're trying to accomplish, even when they've been disappointed at the outcome of something, even when there's a sense of inadequacy or incompetence, we are able to still encourage them. You keep going. You'll figure it out. You can do it. You'll do it. You'll be able to solve that. You constantly refer back to the implication you are capable. You are fully accepted as you are. So even if you fail, it is what it is and nothing changes. But there is an innate belief in the child's capacity to do the things that they need to do. And sometimes we have to believe in that for them because they're not able to believe in that for themselves yet. So even in the midst of all of those things in the playroom, we continue to encourage. And what happens is they eventually succeed. They eventually figure it out. And even if it's not in the way that they originally intended, sometimes they think outside the box and solve the problem a totally different way. But there is still fulfillment and internal motivation that comes when they didn't give up and they were encouraged to keep trying. So there is your encourage the effort rather than praise the product principle. I hope that you find that helpful. And, you know, encouragement's one of the most fun of the skills, in my opinion. Of the four pillars, I actually like encouragement because you're constantly just basically making the child feel that they're capable. And they don't always believe you at the beginning, but when it starts to click, boy, the transformation is instant and it's immediate and it's so significant. So to me, encouragement is kind of that you can watch it blossom right before your very eyes skill that's just so powerful in the playroom. So I hope that that is helpful to you. Please reach out to me if you want to submit a question or you want to just say hello. I love to hear from you. Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. And as I said, we have a lot of great stuff coming. So we're wrapping up these principles and we're going into a whole bunch of new curriculum. And of course, I'm going to continue with the question each week as well. So we'll have a curriculum episode each week and a question episode each week. So very exciting. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for sharing part of your week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.